Jody wants one. Well, good morning, everyone. Happy Mother's Day. My wife and I were recently very much encouraged by some family and friends. The two of us have not actually had children, but we were just encouraged in how God can still use us and use us in a unique way that other people, you know, aren't able to. My wife would actually be able to share that a little bit better than me, because she received the word. A couple of announcements, just some things that we can praise God about, some things that have happened recently. So the bottle drive that Annie has started up, I don't know if you're aware, but 2 weeks ago, it paid for bread at the soup kitchen for the whole week. So thank you, Lord. So keep bringing your bottles in. And last week, it was a donation of $137. That was just last week alone. So that's been a blessing. It's adding up. So keep bringing your bottles. Anytime the kitchen is open, you can bring your bottles and cans down there. Friday nights, Jody and Conrad are leading a men's group Friday nights. And so men, we just want to encourage Jody and encourage Conrad in their leadership of that. So please come out and support everyone there. That's for all men. Ladies, sorry, maybe next time. Lori. Lori just has a little bit to share about our brother Carter. Yeah, our brother, your son.
You want to go up here?
Stand here, or you can go up here.
Let's go up there. Then. Hi, my name is Lori, and this is my son Carter, and that's my sister Bonnie over there. For those of you who have not been informed yet, Carter will not require surgery at this time. So, yeah. However, we still think he's got some pain. Here, hold this. Some pain in this band of his body, you know, and because of his spina bifida, they don't always, they can't always figure out where the pain is coming from. So we're suspecting he may have some kidney pain or other pain around the organs or whatever around that band of his body. So we're going to be doing some other exams and tests for that, just to find out whether or not he actually is having pain. We don't know yet, because throughout his whole life he's never really said, ouch, that hurts, or this hurts, or that hurts. But when we went down to see Dr. Swami, then Dr. Swami asked him, do you have pain? He goes, oh yeah, right here. So we really don't know. So we're going to be doing some other exams to find out if he does have pain there. Yeah, and then if he ever does complain of pain, you know, then surgery can still be an option sometime in the future, but right now he doesn't need it. Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, and then just, you know, if you happen to see me and you're concerned about him, just come up to me and I can direct your questions. Bonnie may or may not always know the answers to stuff like that. And Carter can be hard to talk to. If you're having trouble with Carter speaking, tell him to, one is swallow, because he collects a lot of drool in his mouth. That's the first thing. Another thing is you can ask him to repeat it. Another thing that works well for us, too, is ask him to tell it, to ask you in a different way. So he is able to take a sentence and turn it around and adjust it so it makes sense for everybody. And that's about, oh, and pass a message on to other church members, please, so that we... everybody has a good idea of what's going on. And that's it. Yeah.
Okay. And Carter, if you want prayer after, just let us know. All right. Have a good one, Bo. Anybody know what YC is? We have some youth, yes. So we had somebody anonymously donate a couple of tickets. And so if you have or know some youth that are wanting to go and finances are a struggle, come speak to Pastor Alvin or myself or Pastor Stan or whoever's holding this here envelope. So praise God for that. That was really cool. Brother Doug? Oh, did he disappear? Okay. Just a verse that was on my heart this morning in 1 Peter is, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time and cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Yeah. And any other announcements Pastor Stan is going to nail right now? All right. Thank you for this morning, Lord. Thank you for your presence. We just feel your presence here, Lord. Just thank you for just fresh and new and just filling Pastor Stan fresh and anew right now, Lord, that even in the hard things that he has to share, Lord, that by your spirit, by your power, by your hand, it'll be easy.
Yes, God.
This is by the spirit, not by Pastor Stan's might or strength, but it's by your spirit, Lord. So come and have your way, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
If we're parked along the streets, we might get towed away because this is that one time during the year where they clean the streets on Sunday morning when we're having church for some reason. So, unless you want a ticket. So, you can park next door or across the street. Just for now, I'm sure that they'll let us park there. Our neighbors have been very good to us. So, just find a different place to park because we'd rather see that fine money go into the little box that we got in the back there to help with. And you know what? While that's happening, I just got a sense that we just need to, you know, there's some breakthrough that needs to happen here today. And one of the ways that we do that is through worship, but I think also through gratitude. So I want to just kind of open things up for real brief things that we're grateful for. What are you thankful for? Just one word or a couple of lines? And let's worship God with that. So what are you thankful for this morning? How do we bring him a sacrifice of praise? Yes, stand up and be loud.
I'm thankful that I'm walking. As a month ago, I wasn't.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful that in 2 days I get a further shot in my spine and that they are referring me for surgery. So I'm incredibly thankful.
Amen. I'm going to pray for you in a minute. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Amar. Oh, nice.
So it's good. I'm not sleeping. I'm coming early to the church.
You made it to church. Thank you, God. First, Mary Lise.
I'm grateful that children are a gift from God to us. And I am so grateful that my children bless me and when they say tomorrow because they could not do it today.
Happy Mother's Day. Amen. Yes. Amen. Amen. Kimberly. Amen. Praise God. Yeah. Give him a big hand. Thank you, Lord. God is faithful. God is faithful. Who else? Lenny. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Byron. Amen. Yeah, we just say thank you, Lord. That's good. That's good. Gratitude is so important. Yes. For a revived relationship with your mom? Thank you, Jesus. That's really awesome. Thank you, God. Kit. He does. Yeah. Praise Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Yeah, brother. Amen. Thank you, Lord. What's your name?
Kelly.
Kelly? I'm glad you're here, Kelly. I hope you feel welcome. Yeah, Sherry?
Not too many people know this, but I'm thankful that my great niece has come from surgery. It's helped me to be. She divorced a few weeks ago and was on my biological family.
That's good.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Give praise to God. Lift him up. One or two more. One or two more. What are we thankful for? Yeah, sorry, Lou. Thank you, God. You are my healer. Sifa, you get the last word today. Thank you, Jesus. Woo-hoo! Let's give a big shout to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. I was just thinking of that one song we sung. And Crystal, we're not going to do it again, but Crystal picked these songs. And like I've said many times, and I never tell her what the Lord's laying on my heart to preach. But boy, the song sure fit in well today about, you know, coming through a hard time, you know, going through troubles. Being attacked by the enemy. You know, this song says, there's a name that I call in times of trouble. There's a song that comforts in the night. There's a voice that calms the storm that rages. It's Jesus. That's the name. Man, it just fits in so well today in what God wants to say to us today. God, you walk on the waters. You speak to the sea. You stand in the fire beside me. You feel like you're in a fire sometimes? You feel like you're walking through some pretty heavy rivers? It says that he's there with us. He stands there with us. You roar like a lion. You bled as a lamb. You carry my healing in your hands. I want to pray. Would you just join me in prayer together? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that there is power in your name, Jesus. Thank you that you carry us through the hard things, that you help us through the fires and through the floods, that you never abandon us. Thank you, Lord, for the good responses just now, the ways that we can be grateful to you and for the things that you do in our lives and for answered prayers. Thank you for Robin, and I just pray, Lord, for your hand to be on her. Lord, use whatever means that you choose to use to heal her back. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Thank you for Carter. Remember Carter, God. We thank you for this young man. Thank you that he loves you. We remember him being baptized a while ago. We just pray a blessing on Carter. Help him to know that he belongs to you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for his smile. Thank you for marriages that have been restored, like Sifa and Fortin, and for the way that you have preserved Louis's life. Lord, we're thankful for these things. You are so good. God, this week we heard from Mel and Earl that the doctors are going to go at it this again with this cancer, but they haven't given up. We're thankful for that, too. You have so much more in your arsenal, God, than the doctors do. So we pray for healing for Mel. We pray that she'll be able to continue to be a mom to her three young children. And we just join together today right now and ask you, Lord, to heal her in Jesus' name. Lord, in the past, you've used chemotherapy and it's been effective. God, you can use that again or you can just touch her right now. We would just agree, God, with your plans for her. And we would tell you the desire of our hearts, Lord. We ask you that you'd heal her in Jesus' name. We pray for Kevin. Thank you that we could meet with him this week. And you know, God, how he's struggling too with a brain tumor. God, in Jesus' name, we just agree together that you would touch him. Lord, that you would cause this cancer, this tumor to just shrink and die off, Lord. We declare that in Jesus' name. We know, Lord, that when you walked on this earth, You just touched people or they touched you and they were healed time after time after time. And you are the same God. You are the Lord of Lords and you are the King of Kings. And so, God, we want to stand in a gap for Kevin. And we think of his family. Many of them, they don't know you very well, Lord. They're just beginning to know you. Pray for Corrine and their two children. Thank you that we have the privilege of getting to meet them and know them. And we ask you, God, that you'll comfort and show who you are. Just reveal yourself, Jesus. Thank you. You are God. You want to be known. So just be known, God. Be known. And I pray, God, now, too, as we just open your word, that it'll be a word that ministers to our hearts. Just speak, God. I thank you that we have your word. Your word is so powerful. Your word is the truth. So speak today, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. I want to just read today from John chapter 14. If you have your Bibles, just invite you to turn to John chapter 14. And this kind of comes under the heading today of what's been bugging you? You don't need to answer, by the way. But what's been bugging you? What's been troubling you? What have you been worried about? What have you been dreading? And I'm guessing that I'm not the only one here that something's been bugging or that you've been, something's troubling, right? That we go through this, oh my goodness, a dad just arrived. Did you bring your little baby or not yet? Joseph and Rejoice had a little baby girl. Amen. God bless you. Praise God. So we thank, let's just pray. Thank you, God, for little Claudia. We are grateful for little Claudia, for a new life, God, for a little baby who was born strong and born to believing parents. Thank you that Rejoice's mom can be around to help. God, he should have been here 5 minutes ago so we could have just added this to all the thankfulness, all the gratitude that we were giving to you. But we would be amiss today if we didn't just say thank you, Jesus, for little Claudia in your name. Amen. Amen. We will know her soon. We will know her soon. Okay, so where was I? That little commercial was brought to you courtesy of Claudia. John 14, and under the heading of what's bugging you lately, or what have you been troubled with? Verse 1, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. And then Thomas has a really good, honest answer. He goes, Lord, we don't know where you're going. You think we know. We don't know. We're clueless. We have no idea. What is this about? Where are you going? How can we know the way, Thomas says. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him. And this, we're going to read some more in a minute. But this was a time in the life of Jesus and in the time when he spent with his disciples where he is just about to face the cross. By the way, if you see the kids walking by in circles, I'm interrupting myself all the time this morning, but they're just doing a Jericho thing here today. So I told them only to go 6 times. Just avoid the 7th one, you know. So don't let them distract you, okay? Anyways, back to where I was. So this is the end of Jesus' ministry. He is going to go to the cross. He's going to be arrested soon. He's going to say to Peter very quickly here, Peter, you're going to betray me. And even before the rooster crows 3 times, you're going to deny that you even know who I am. This is sort of the whole context of those words that Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled. And those are the words I want you to focus on today, that we want to just spend a little time today. Because I believe that sometimes we find ourselves with troubled hearts. Sometimes we find ourselves with hearts that are filled with fear or dread, or maybe we just, you know, there's something that's stirring up. The word trouble in the original language simply means that. It's something, it's agitated, something that's stirred up, something that's moving. It's there. It's like friction. It's like sandpaper. That's sort of it's like when we were first married, my wife insisted that we had one of those old washing machines, you know, the kind that did that and wash. Then you take every piece of garment, every jeans or sock, and you run them through that wringer thing, right? Well, we had one of those for about 3 years. Until we got, she said, we need one of those. Like, that's how I grew up. My mom taught me how to wash clothes, and it makes it way cleaner. And until that thing finally broke down, we got one of the ones that did it by themselves. But that agitation thing, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen them before. Those of us who are my age, you might know what that looked like. Well, that's what the word trouble really means. It's something that just keeps rubbing you wrong. It just keeps wearing at you. It's eroding your heart. And the question today is, what has been eroding your heart? What's been wearing against you? What have you been troubled with? And in the context of these words, there's a lot of things that Jesus knew had already happened and were going to happen. He knew that, man, we're about to hit, you know, a really hard spell here. The master's going to be taken. He's going to be arrested. The disciples are going to scatter. There's going to be a crucifixion. Their faith is going to be shattered for a time, because the Holy Spirit hadn't come yet, right? So he says, don't let your hearts be troubled. I know what's coming. If you read earlier, he talks about Peter's denial. And if you read Matthew's account, I don't know if you have that one for me, but in Matthew, Matthew tells us this very same story. Matthew tells us in Matthew 26 that Jesus told them, this is part of Peter's denial, this very night you will all fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. Think about that. Jesus knew that, you know, this is actually going to happen, that the shepherd was going to be stricken and that the flock was going to be scattered. We've been talking about lost sheep over the last month, really. But imagine this. Imagine you're the shepherd and you know that you're going to die. Jesus knew what was coming, but he also knew that because of what was about to happen, the sheep are going to be taken off in all kinds of different directions. They're going to be heading for the hills. They're going to be doing whatever. Your feet, don't fail me now. I'm out of here, right? And Jesus, how hard is it when you're a shepherd and you know that the sheep are about to be lost? They're not even lost yet. Yeah. Would you do me a favor? Let's just close that door. Just for my sake. So just imagine what that would be like, though, if you were a shepherd and you knew that something is going to be lost. And I've been thinking about that and just remembering, you know, sometimes in my life when you know somebody, what that's like when you have this sense that something bad is going to happen. You have that maybe for your children or for someone that you've been working with who has been clean and you're worried that they might be using now again or whatever. You know, you get those kind of examples that there's a lost sheep. There's someone who's going to be lost, and you don't even, they're not lost yet, but you got a pretty good sense that if the truth would be known, they really are. That sometimes things are going to happen. We can't stop those things from happening, right? And that is exactly where Jesus was when he said these words. Don't let your hearts be troubled. And as a matter of fact, this whole John 14 is all about this. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Later on, and we're going to read that now, he says these words. He says the very same thing, actually. He promises us his Holy Spirit. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But here's what he says in John 14, now to verse 25. He says, all of this, verse 25, all of this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything, or teach you all things. And he will remind you of everything that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Did you hear that? That's exactly how he started, right? The very first verse, he says the same thing. Well, he repeats himself here. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. So two times in John 14, he uses this phrase, do not let your hearts be troubled. And it just strikes me that that's kind of an important phrase. And that he doesn't say, don't worry. Or he doesn't say, don't be troubled. That's not what he's saying. We need to understand that. He's not saying, hey, don't worry about what's going to happen here. You know, don't be afraid. That's not what he says. He says, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let. In other words, it's something that we can allow or disallow. Don't let your heart be troubled. It means that we sometimes give our hearts permission to be troubled. We allow it to happen. Right? Don't let your heart be troubled. He doesn't say, don't worry. That's a different thing. He's saying, no, here's the responsibility. It's really on you because you know what? It's your heart. It's no one's heart but your own. You need to be in control of your heart, and you can be in control of your heart. The enemy does not have control of my heart because Jesus, by his Holy Spirit, right now lives inside of me. Amen? So we don't have to let our hearts be troubled. When I am afraid, it's because I've allowed myself to be afraid. It's true. When I'm dreading something, it's because I'm allowing my heart to dread it. When I'm worried about a certain thing in my life, it's because I'm letting my heart worry. You know, David in the Psalms, he said over and over again, he said, he speaks to his soul. I'm learning myself how to speak to my soul. I think we need to do that more. He speaks to his soul. He says, why are you so troubled? Why are you disquieted, oh my soul? Why are you so troubled within me? Put your hope in God. Amen. Yeah. I'm learning to do this, you know, because I find myself under attack a lot of times, and I'm learning to speak to my soul and say, soul, quiet down. Amen. Just be quiet. Be still. Be quiet, my soul. Why are you all troubled up? Why are you all agitated? What good is it doing you? It's my soul. It's my heart. Why am I letting it be troubled? Right? That's what David said. Why do we allow our hearts to be troubled? It says, it's funny because I was having one of the days this week, I just had a weird thing happen. I'm not going to get all into it. It just ended up being nothing, though. You ever have that before where you get a phone call from someone, they go, I got to talk to you and I got to do it right now. And it's on your answering machine or something. You go, whoa, something terrible is happening, right? So I was reading the word. While this is happening, I'm starting to think, oh, this is something terrible. I don't know what's going on. And then I read this passage from Psalm 53, verse 5. Listen to this. I mean, this is just how God works when you read his word. And it says there they were, overwhelmed with dread, where there was nothing to dread. Right? Wow. And God scattered the bones of those who attacked you. You put them to shame, for God despised them. There they were, overwhelmed with dread, when there was nothing to dread. How many of us have had that before? You ever had that before? Man, I'm just full of dread. I'm full of worry and full of fear. And there's nothing to worry. There's nothing to be afraid of because God is still in control. There's a revelation. God is still in control. Right? So what does he mean when he says, don't let your hearts be troubled? So, and I believe that God gives us the power of his Holy Spirit, and that's what John 14 is all about, that he's going to give us this gift of his Holy Spirit, and he's not going to give us like the world gives. He says, I'm going to give you something that's going to be lasting and eternal, and you are going to have peace. I want you. You're my people. You are my children. I want you to have peace. And I don't give you peace like the world gives. I give it way better. I give it so that it'll last. I give it so that it will endure. People are all looking for peace, but when the world gives peace, it's usually given on a street corner in a little baggie or in a little pill. And it lasts for about, 20 minutes or something. But when God gives peace, he doesn't give it to you in a baggie. I want you to know that, okay? He doesn't give it to you in a prescription. He gives it to you when he puts his Holy Spirit inside of you, and he says, now I'm going to possess you. I am going to be in you. And you don't need to worry because I'm God. And I love you. And you don't need to take something to take away the pain because I can carry the pain for you. I've died so that I could do that. Amen? Amen? It's good. It's true. So this morning, I want to kind of give you five sort of ingredients to the recipe of peace. How do we get peace? How do we attain peace? How do we let our hearts not be troubled? So I want to give you five things that work for me. I shouldn't say they work for me. They help for me to work. And I struggle with this all the time. But when I realize again that I'm under attack or that my heart is being troubled, and when I'm wise enough to figure that out quick enough, then suddenly I start on these things and go, okay, I got to start again. Do the first thing and then do the second thing. Now I got to do this. And by the time I've gotten to the fifth thing, I found that I got peace again because God has equipped me to have peace. And I know that some of you, I can even see some tears in your eyes. I know that you've gone through some hard things and there's been a battle and some of you have been fighting with other people or someone has said something awful to you this week or you've had some really bad news or someone you know has really disappointed you. I understand all of that stuff. And that's why Jesus said, don't let your hearts be troubled. So the first thing, and there will be, by the way, there will be a test. All right? The first thing that you need to understand if you want to gain the peace, the shalom, such an important word in the Hebrew language, the shalom, it means the completeness. That's what shalom means. It means wholeness. It means serenity and peace, but it means so much more than what we use for peace. But the first thing you need to know is that our peace comes from a person, not from a feeling. My peace is in me, and is in my heart. I do not need to let my heart be troubled because the Holy Spirit lives in my heart. The Holy Spirit lives in me, and he is peace, okay? So peace is a person. That's what we believe. Peace is a person, not just a feeling. If what you want is a peaceful, easy feeling, then you should go to an Eagles concert. Yeah, and you'll find temporary peace there, maybe. In fact, I think there's one in Calgary, Edmonton tomorrow night. If that's what you're looking for, is a peaceful, easy feeling, that's where you can find that. But if you want real peace, peace that lasts, peace that gives you a sense that you belong forever and ever, and that whatever you've ever done in your past has been covered, and that you have peace with God, if you want peace with God, then you need the Holy Spirit to live in your heart. And that's really true. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. It's what Jesus says. He says, look at John 14. I didn't read this part, but I'm going to read it now just so you can just listen to this, where Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. Even when I go, I won't leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. And on that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. I am in you. Amen. Right? So you've got to start with this. My peace isn't in a feeling. It isn't in how I'm dealing with my circumstances or not dealing with my circumstances. My peace is in the Holy Spirit who lives in me. And he is peace. The Holy Spirit is peace. We follow that? Second one. I need to remind myself from time to time that there's power in the Word of God. And that if I really want to face the enemy and I know that I'm under his attack, and again, like I said earlier, sometimes I'm not that bright. And it takes me a day or two to wake up and go, wow, this has been an attack. I didn't even think about it. Now I realize that now I'm going to do something about it. Here's what I do. I get my word out. I get my sword out. What did Jesus do when he was in the desert? You guys know this. He got the word out. Every time the enemy attacked him and tried to tempt him, the only thing that Jesus did in response is the word of God. Every time he stood before Satan and Satan said, why don't you try this or why don't you jump off the roof? He said, let me tell you what the Word of God says. Amen. If you're under attack, if you're under demonic attack, you know that Satan is after you or he's been pushing your buttons or your heart has been troubled, it's time to get the Word out. And by the way, don't clap quite yet, you should be getting the Word out all the time. We shouldn't just be grabbing this sword just when we're having a problem. Right? So we need to know the Word of God. We need to know the Word of God. I wonder sometimes how many of us are actually reading our Bibles. And I don't know if I want to know the answer to that. And I don't want to be hard on you today, but, you know, why are we not using one of the most powerful things that we can avail ourselves of is in the Word of God? We use it when we get into trouble, maybe, or we ask someone else to help us, but this Word is powerful. The enemy cannot stand against the Word of God. When I'm having a hard time or going through an attack in my life, then I remind him that I'm loved by God. I say, you know, I start quoting verses, right? How blessed it is that I am called a child of God, right? Or John 3:16, God so loved the world, he loved me, that he sent his only son. Take that, enemy. Or there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. When I feel that accuser's voice, and I see the finger pointing at me, I go, you know what? There is no condemnation. None. There you go. Greater is he that is in me than the one who's in the world. And there's a lot more, right? There's a whole lot more. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. When I feel abandoned, when I feel alone, when I feel afraid sometimes, then I just go, Lord, you promised me that you'll never leave me. And then I say that to the enemy. You know what, enemy? Here's the word of God. Here's what the word of God says. Psalm 23. I cannot tell you in the last couple of years how many times I've recited Psalm 23 in my head. And there's a reason why it's such a good psalm and why so many people know it and why it's spoken in hard times. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I don't want anything. Because he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Isn't that great? When I'm troubled, when things are really going bad in my life, he'll lead me again by quiet waters. He guides me in his paths of righteousness for his sake. Even when I'm going through the valley of the shadow of death, even I'm going through the hardest time and there's death on the horizon, you are with me. You don't abandon me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And it goes on, right? It's so full of comfort, so full of truth. And I stand with that against the enemy sometimes. I said, let me tell you something, enemy. You're pointing your finger. You're the accuser. You know, you're pointing your finger at me, but let me tell you something. God tells me in his word that he's going to prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He's going to anoint my head with oil if he hasn't done it already. And that surely goodness and mercy is going to follow me all the days of my life, all the rest of my life. Amen? Thank you, God. So the second thing, and I'm trying to have you understand, is that we need to be in the word. We need to know the word. And if you aren't doing that right now, you're just not spending that time with God, you are ill-equipped to face the attack. You have no idea. You cannot stand against the enemy if you don't know God's word. And sometimes I just keep repeating, just go back at him with the word of God. Here's the word of God. Here's the word of God. It is the only art. Because you know what? He doesn't care what I think or what I say. The enemy, you can make up whatever argument you want. He just laughs at you. Your word has no authority unless it's the word of God. It's true. But when it's the word of God, he has no choice but to back off, just like he did with Jesus, and say, I'm out of here then. I'm out of here. That's how we let our hearts not be troubled. The third thing I want you to remember, and again, these are the things that help me. But that there's also something, and this ties in a little bit with the word, how important the word of God is, but there's also something that Jesus said to Peter and to all of the church when he talked about the keys of the kingdom. And he said, before I leave, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom, Peter, and you're going to pass that down to the church and to the community and to the leadership so that you have authority over the enemy. I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom, he says, Matthew 16 and Matthew 18. He says, and with the keys of the kingdom, you can lock and you can unlock. You can bind the enemy with the keys of the kingdom. Did you know that? And he gives you that ability. So when the enemy is attacking you, you need to take that key, you need to speak it out loud, and you say, Satan, I bind you right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. I bind you under the authority that Jesus himself has given me. I bind your voice. I bind your accusations. I bind whatever leverage you have in my life. I bind whatever memories you keep bringing up. I bind whatever it is that you use to attack me in the name of Jesus, and I release, because that's what the key does, right? I release the power of the Holy Spirit to live in me. Yeah. I release the freedom. I release shalom, real peace. I release it in Jesus' name. I bind you, but I release hope and joy and gratitude again, because I have the power that has been given to me because the keys of the kingdom to bind and to loose. To bind and to loose. That's the third one. You get it? The fourth, and I find this particularly helpful sometimes, is that sometimes I just need to change the page. Sometimes we get stuck where we are. Sometimes, you know, you've been sort of doing this Groundhog Day thing. You just, you know, you keep doing the same thing. You wake up the next morning, you're doing the same thing again. You go, what do I do now, you know? And what I mean by changing the page is it's often helpful to just read on a little further in the book and find out what actually happens. You can do that. That in the end of this book, the enemy is destroyed. Sometimes I got to get into Revelation just so I'm reminded that today is just one day. This is just one page. I don't need to be stuck on this day, no matter how bad this day is. And it seems to just regurgitate itself. That's not a very nice picture, but but that there's another day coming. You hear me? There's a way better day coming. Let me just share a couple of those for you today. Here's what I would be doing anyways. So I'd probably be turning to, like, Revelation 3, where Jesus said, "These are the words of him who is holy and true." Verse 7. "This is the words of he who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut." Isn't that good? And he turned the page and he says, "And those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If any one of you hears my voice and opens the door, I will come and eat with him and he with me." And then I jump to Revelation 12 where he says this, "Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of our Christ." You want to know what's going to happen here? Here's what's happening right now. "For the accuser of our brothers who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down." Right now, the enemy has been hurled down to this earth and he is doing his worst. "But they overcame him." How? Amen. You guys know it. Oh, I love it. "By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, they did not love their lives so much as to shrink back from their faith or from death. And therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short." When I remember that, when I read that, I go, okay. Your time is short. You're filled with fury. You're going to hit me with your best shot, but I got the power of the blood of Jesus. I have the power of the blood of Jesus, and you don't. You don't. And then I know I could do this all morning, and I'm doing it, but this finally, I would just end kind of with some of these, like Revelation 20, where the vision says this, "But fire came down from heaven." I love reading this one to the enemy. "Fire came down from heaven and devoured them, and the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever." Amen. And then across the page in 21 verse 3, "And then I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them, and he will be their God. And he will wipe every tear." He will wipe every tear from your eyes. "And there will be no more pain, no more death or mourning or crying, for the old order of things has passed away." That is good. Sometimes when I know that I'm going through a hard time and my heart's been troubled, and I want to take it seriously when Jesus says, "Don't let your heart be troubled," that's what helps, is I read on in the book. I read about his demise. I read about that he is only attacking right now because his time is short. And it helps. You know, the enemy usually accuses us and he attacks us through other people. It doesn't happen very often that we have a face-to-face with him, because probably that wouldn't be as effective. But when he does it through you or you, and I hear about what you're saying about me or what you're thinking about me or someone else who's offended by me or who I've offended, that's generally how the enemy works. So if you think that the enemy is just going to attack you one-on-one, that probably doesn't happen very often, but he'll use someone out there, or sometimes he'll use us against each other because he knows it's more effective. He's sort of down the road, and he's pulling the strings. He's like a, you know, the puppet. See, I'm going to get Joyce to say this to Lynn, and then Lynn's going to repeat it to Terry, and it's going to get back to Joyce, and I'm going to just, you're going to stir things up here. Right? That's how he works. If we were wise, if we were wise, we start to understand this. He works through being offended. He works through our language and our tongues. He works through what we say to each other. That's how he often works. And we need to recognize those kind of things. And we need to just stand against him. We need to not let our hearts be troubled. Because he's given us his Holy Spirit who lives in us. And I don't know. I know there's one more to come. Is he done? No, I'm not done. I don't know what you've been fighting with. I don't know what's been bugging you. I don't know what's troubling you. I think that if any of us are honest today, you're going to say, yeah, you know, there is something. There has been this particular thing in my life that just keeps agitating my heart. I can't get over it. It just keeps rubbing me wrong. That's literally what that word means. It's tarasso is the Greek word. It just rubs you wrong. It just keeps rubbing you, and we allow it to happen sometimes. And I don't know what that is in your heart right now. But I want to give you the fifth way that I fight, and it's not going to take very long. This is just an easy one, really. And then I want us to put this into practice for just a few moments. And here's the fifth thing that I remember when my heart is troubled. And that is that peace, real, lasting, actual peace, is a gift. And I only can receive it. I can't earn it. I can't make it happen. I can't generate it. I can't be good enough. I just need to take it. When he says, hey, I'm going to give you peace, you just, all you can really do is just put your hands out and say, yeah, I need it big time. I really need your peace. And I'm going to believe that what you say is true, Lord. And he says that, right? Don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, Jesus said. Yeah, take that today. And Gord, you take it. Your mom died. We want to infer peace on you. I want you to know today that, and I know you know this, you have the Spirit living in you. Your mom loved Jesus. She loved God. May the peace of Christ rest on you. It's a gift. Just take it. Yeah. Just take it. Are you following me today? Any of this making any sense? It's a battle, you know. If we were doing nothing of any consequence, we probably wouldn't be going through these kind of battles. Isn't that true? But when you're going to stand up and actually do what God asks us to do, if you're going to really be in the Word and we're going to try to redeem this world for Christ, you can be absolutely sure that the enemy is going to do whatever he can to destroy and to kill and to steal, because that's what he does. And so this morning, I want us to actually practice this. Here's the part I really love about peace is that in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament, Christians would convey peace to each other. That's why when you read the letters of Paul, it always starts and ends with, you know, peace be with you, grace, mercy, and peace, grace, mercy, and peace. And that they would say shalom to each other. They would greet each other. They still do. Shalom. You know, shalom. It means so much more, right? But what they're really doing is they are inferring, they're adding peace to each other's lives. Meaning, I just bless you with peace. I want you to experience the full peace of Jesus Christ. And that we actually can do that. I don't think we practice this, but we can actually do this. That in the first century, that's exactly what would happen. You would pass someone on the road and you would say shalom. And they would say shalom back. And it wasn't just a hi, it was an actual blessing. You were blessing someone with a shalom. I want you to have the peace. I want you to have that rest in your heart. I want you to have completeness and wholeness and know where you stand in relationship to your God. It's powerful. So, not wanting to be weird, Not that that helps when I describe it that way. But I want to invite you in a moment. We're going to end with a song, but we'll do that in a few minutes. But I invite you, and some of you don't know anyone here, but you don't need to do this. You can just sit. But I think it would be a great opportunity for us, because this is how God often gives us peace. It's through other people. That we actually get up off of our seats and bless each other, maybe pray for someone. Maybe you just say peace. Just say the word peace to each other. They do this in your culture too. Peace, right? Shalom. Wow. So let's pray, and then I'm just going to tinkle a little bit on the guitar, and then we're going to do that. We're going to move around in a circle here. It won't be more than 10 minutes, so don't run away, okay? But know that you are someone who can give peace today. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. So today, Lord, we determine by the power of your word that we are not going to let our hearts be troubled. And so whatever it is that's been bugging us this week or this day, whatever we've been, the person we've been disappointed in, or the financial struggle we've been going through, or the bad report from the doctor, and that list goes on and on, God, because in this world we will have trouble. But you say that you've overcome the world. So we believe that today. So right now, we just pray that your peace would fill our hearts. And when we say that, we mean your Holy Spirit. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to just take complete control over my heart. Show me and show us your love, and that we would know your peace. Thank you, God. And I pray that now as we just try to bless each other and we leave in peace, that we would really be a blessing, that we would have words, that we'll have wisdom, that we'll have discernment, who to talk to, that if there's people who don't want any of this, that we'll leave them alone, let them just spend a couple moments with you, but that we will experience right now the full measure of your shalom. And whatever it is that we've been carrying around that we need to let go, we lay it down. Whoever it is, we lay it down. We trust you. It's what you said. Trust me. You believe in God, believe and trust me. We want to do that today, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I don't know how this works, so you guys have to figure that part out. You can first go out there. We're not going to start singing for a bit. We'll just tinkle first. Just the same one, it is well. Grand to earth. We'll just... Goodbye. God's peace be resting on you. God's peace. Thank you.
invite you to just stand up and walk around and bless people, give them a hug, and just say peace. That's it.